This podcast is brought to you by Monetary Gold. Listeners who open a qualified account will receive up to $5,000 in free gold or silver. To learn more, go to monetarygold.com/grace. That's monetarygold.com/grace.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail.
You gotta bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, the Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Happy Tuesday afternoon to all of you, and thank you all so much for choosing the Grace Curley Show today. If you're listening for a long time or for a short time, we're happy to have you here. And if you want to be a part of it, you can call in. It's 844-500-4242. We're going to take a lot of calls today, and all calls are welcome. We have a lot of updates for you. The Martha's Vineyard saga continues. Every day brings a new side, a new hot take, a new person weighing in on the situation. See, in Martha's Vineyard, they want me to call it a humanitarian crisis, but I'm going by the AP rules. So I will be calling this a situation, a problem that could be solved. So it took the liberals a little bit longer than usual to get their footing on how to tackle this one. They were taken by surprise. And so the talking points had to be adjusted. You know, everyone had to get on the same page. And now they've settled on the page that says DeSantis is guilty of a crime. In true liberal fashion, they don't know what the crime is. They're not really sure what the legality is or what laws he has broken. But I'm sure, nonetheless, regardless of that fact, the walls are closing in. The noose is tightening. Democracy is hanging by a thread, and we are going to get DeSantis, just like we always are on the verge of getting Donald Trump. Maybe they'll get Ron DeSantis. They'll catch him so red-handed in a crime, because he's also a criminal mastermind, that maybe he will be ineligible to run in 2024 for president. Have we checked in with Adam Schiff or Hillary Clinton? Are the Russians involved in this Martha's Vineyard criminal plot? That's what I want to know. If I connect the dots, do you know where all roads lead to as far as Grace Curley is concerned? All roads lead to Vladimir Putin. So I'm just waiting to hear that connection. Now, his crime, according to the brilliant people in our media, the keyboard warriors at the New York Times and the Washington Post, the blue checks on Twitter, his big crime is that he sent 50 people to Martha's Vineyard on nice planes and that they stayed there for 44 hours. Now, Bexar County Sheriff Javier Salazar is also partaking in the bashing of Ron DeSantis. I have to play you this sound because I think we're going to have to break down what Salazar's argument is and why it doesn't stand up. But let's play. This is Javier Salazar, Bexar County Sheriff. Let's start with cut 20, please.
With regard to the suspected activities involving the 48 migrants from Venezuela, that as we understand it at this point, the facts of the case at this point, are that on Wednesday, September 14th, here in Bexar County in the city of San Antonio, our understanding is that a Venezuelan migrant was paid what we would call a bird dog fee to recruit approximately 50 migrants from the area around a migrant resource center on San Pedro here in San Antonio. As we understand it, 48 migrants were lured, I will use the word lured, under false pretenses into staying at a hotel for a couple of days. They were taken by airplane. At a certain point, they were shuttled to an airplane.
I got to shut this guy off for
where
so
they
many
were flown
reasons.
To.
First of all, my bad, Behar County. I know that's not perfect pronunciation, Jared, but you're not going to get it from me. The truth is I took French growing up. Yeah, it's just not going to happen. But the second part of this is I love the serious tone. I love the investigatory mindset of this man. He is not messing around. And I want to, before I go into how these people were lured to go to Martha's Vineyard, that's a pretty nice place to be lured to go to. I don't think it takes a lot of luring to get people to go to Martha's Vineyard. But before I even get to that, I got to read you the best headline of all. Texas sheriff more concerned about 48 migrants sent to Martha's Vineyard than the 53 who died in the back of a truck. Do you remember that story? I know I keep bringing that up, but I feel as though that story did not get enough attention. 53 people died in the back of a truck in San Antonio. They were being smuggled into this country, and they died because it was so hot, and they were all crammed into this truck. It was a horrible, horrible story, and it didn't get nearly the amount of play that 50 migrants going to Martha's Vineyard is getting. Now, on top of that, there's a piece in Popular Information, which I never heard of before, but it's by Judd Legum. And the reason that I was even privy to this is because John Daniel Davidson, who I have on this show quite a bit, wrote about it. And John took such a great perspective on what is another layer of hypocrisy coming from the left when it comes to this Martha's Vineyard story? Because there are so many layers to this that make them look foolish, that make them look ridiculous. And the angle that John came at this from, and I added this to Grace's recommended reading, which you can always get at HowieCarshow.com. You can also check this out at The Federalist. He said, sorry, there's no smoking gun in Martha's Vineyard, just a lot of left-wing condescension. And before we get into the details of that left-wing condescension, I want to read you one part of his piece that I thought really summed it up. He said, it's hard to think of a more patronizing attitude toward men and women who successfully navigated a harrowing exodus from Venezuela and Colombia, trekked through Central America and Mexico, dealt with smugglers and cartels and corrupt police the entire way, and finally set foot in the United States. Contrary to insulting left-wing stereotypes about ignorant and confused migrants, the people who show up at our southern border tend to be tough, determined, and keenly aware of what's in their own best interest. That is not the narrative that is being pushed by the left wing as they play their tiny violins. They love to purport that these people are bamboozled, that they don't know what's going on, that they're being taken advantage of, that they don't know where they're going. And that just does not add up. And furthermore, what John did in this piece, which I'm really grateful for because I wouldn't have known this, he cites, he's talking about this piece by Judd Legum, where Legum says, Popular Information has obtained documentary evidence that migrants from Venezuela were provided with false information to convince them to board flights chartered by Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. The documents suggest that the flights were not just a callous political stunt, but potentially a crime. And wouldn't that just be swell if they could charge Ron DeSantis with a crime? Maybe we can have both Trump and Ron DeSantis both in John Hinckley's cell. And throw Peter Navarro in there as well. Maybe Roger Stone. And we'll lock up, we'll just lock up everybody who stands a chance. You know what they should do, the left? They should go through the latest polls, Trafalgar. They should go through the Reuters polls, AP, YouGov, every poll. And they should just take the top 10 Republicans that are being polled for presidential aspirations, and they should just round all of the Republicans up and toss them in a jail cell. And that will maybe assure us that Joe Biden can be president again. Maybe if the entire political party that is his opposition is in prison, maybe the man eating pudding and falling asleep in his chair and showing up late to the Queen's funeral, FYI, maybe he'll have a shot at winning in 2024.
Put you in jail right away. No trial, no nothing. Right to jail. Right to jail. Right away.
So I know you're probably thinking, well, Grace, what is this evidence that Popular Information, whatever that is, what is this evidence that they have? that is going to make Ron DeSantis criminally liable? Well, John Davidson looked into it. Here's what's in the evidence. A brochure outlining refugee and immigrant benefits and assistance available in Massachusetts, which is a sanctuary state with multiple state programs designed to assist refugees and migrants. Legume says, the author says, he got the brochure from Lawyers for Civil Rights, a Boston-based legal organization that's representing the 30 of the migrants. According to Legume, though, the benefits described in the brochure are only available to refugees who have been referred by the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees and authorized to live in the U.S. In other words, they're not for illegal immigrants who have claimed asylum, like the migrants in Martha's Vineyard. Therefore, he says, they were misled. So now lawyers for LCR are asking the Massachusetts Attorney General to open an investigation. The allegation that the migrants were misled is legally significant. It would mean that the flights were not just heartless, but potentially criminal.
And with this attorney general, chances are pretty good your tax dollars are going to go towards it.
Yes, well, good. We should get Robert Mueller on this case.
Justice.
I don't care how long it takes. I don't care how many administrations have to go through. I will not stop until this case is solved. But no matter how much activist reporters like Legume might wish that DeSantis had somehow committed a crime by offering illegal immigrants a voluntary free flight to Massachusetts, it just isn't so. The 50 or so migrants who landed in Martha's Vineyard last week were never promised employment or anything else. They were simply told that sanctuary states like Massachusetts have programs and assistance available to refugees and migrants, which is true. The brochure in question contains a list of community services and churches that have migrant assistance programs. In fact, the first one listed is a link for the immigration page of a website called First Stop Martha's Vineyard, which is an online reference guide to the island's social services and programs. It includes information about the Massachusetts Office for Refugee and Immigrants, among other programs. So what crime did DeSantis commit here? Giving people brochures that could be helpful in their journey in America? Lock them up. Lock them up, I say. We have so much to get to today, and I didn't plan on going into that right away, but I just thought it was too good. We have sound from Ron DeSantis. We have insane sound of Don Lemon getting destroyed on his own TV program. The soon-to-be morning host was taken to task by a royal scholar. And it's an excuse for me to talk about the royals and to play some Don Lemon. So I think it's a win-win for all of us today. We also have updates on a lot of these midterm races. We're going to take your calls, so don't go anywhere. The Democrat surveillance state is here. 87,000 new armed, that's right, armed non-law enforcement IRS agents. Why does America need that? The liar said no new taxes on individuals making under $400,000. So meanwhile, we paid attention to the 400K. They slipped us in under our noses. They'll soon control all aspects of your life with armed agents rummaging through every dime you've ever spent. You traded thousands of hours of time building your nest egg. Now you have to protect it. You need this now. It's Monetary Gold's new guide. 5 money mistakes that could crush your retirement in the next 6 months. So call Monetary Gold now. There's no time to delay. It's 888-617-7994. You'd get the 5 money mistakes that could crush your retirement in the next 6 months. It is their guide. It's Monetary Gold's new guide. And all you have to do is call 888-617-7994. Time is of the essence. We'll be right back. And also just one other thing I want to throw in here is a little bit of a teaser. Things are really getting out of hand when the New York Times hates Ron DeSantis so much that they're now describing Trump as charming. I do feel like I'm taking crazy pills. We will be right back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. This is The Grace Curley Show.
48 migrants were lured. I will use the word lured. Under false pretenses, into staying at a hotel for a couple of days. They were taken by airplane. At a certain point, they were shuttled to an airplane. where they were flown to Florida and then eventually flown to Martha's Vineyard, again, under false pretenses is the information that we have, that they were promised work, they were promised the solution to several of their problems.
Where is this energy for anything else that happens in this country? So in order for any leftist liberal politician or hack to want to draw attention to something, do we need to just send any of our issues? Like, does Martha's Vineyard need to be the place where all of these issues get hashed out? Because I've never seen, forget the energy. Like, what about the acknowledgement of reality? I've never seen any of these people acknowledge what happens at the border. This is really a breath of fresh air. For so long, we were told that nothing was even going on, that, you know, there's illegal, even just the other day when Joe Biden was clad in his tuxedo, he was telling us how there's a legal, safe, humane process in place. And now everyone's feathers are ruffled. David, you're up next on The Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, David. Oh, sorry, David. Your connection's not good. Try again. I want to play Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, his response to people's reactions. That first cut you heard was from the Texas sheriff in San Antonio, Behar County, who is, his name is Javier Salazar. And as WFTL pointed out, he did not speak up for the 53 migrants who died in the back of a truck in San Antonio. But he seems very vocal about the 50 migrants who were lured, and he's not afraid to use that word lured, to Martha's Vineyard. So this is DeSantis' response, cut 13 on Hannity last
night. Sean, it's really frustrating because, you know, you've been covering this. Millions of people since Biden's been president illegally coming across the southern border. Did they freak out about that? No. You've had migrants die in the Rio Grande, yet 50 die in Texas in a trailer because they were being neglected. Was there a freak out about that? No, there wasn't. You've had criminal aliens get across that southern border and victimize Americans, killing some, raping some. Was there any type of outrage about that? No. And then, of course, we know fentanyl deaths are at an all-time high. Where's that fentanyl coming from? It's coming over the open southern border. It's only when 50 get put into Martha's Vineyard, which wasn't saying they didn't want this. They said they wanted this. They said they were a sanctuary jurisdiction. These were people who were basically destitute and then put in a situation where they could have succeeded, but that was all virtue signaling. And not only did they not welcome them, they deported them the next day with the National Guard. Give me a break.
Yeah, and you know, he's talking about the people who are often ignored because their stories don't fit the narrative. What about the families? What about the moms who lost their kids because their kids were killed by an illegal alien? We have plenty of those parents in this country. Do they get the same amount of outrage as 50 people who had to spend the day on Martha's Vineyard? Do you think they'd appreciate a little bit of an uproar from the mainstream media that they lost their kids or their husbands or their wives or their cousins or their friends? Did anybody care about that? No, but everybody's clutching their pearls at the thought that Ron DeSantis would do this. And I'm going to lean heavily on this piece by John Daniel Davidson because he breaks down this double standard, but he also talks specifically about what these migrants were told. And one migrant, a man named Eduardo Linares, told the Texas Tribune that he declined the offer, but that he's since heard from people who went to Martha's Vineyard, and now he's wondering whether he made the right decision. Now, Legume, the guy who's quoting and saying how, you know, Ron DeSantis may be held liable for this because this might be criminal. Legume quotes Linares, this guy, alleging that a mysterious blonde-haired woman named Perla promised him and others jobs and rent assistant in Martha's Vineyard, but left out the part about Linares second-guessing his decision to stay behind. Why? Because including that detail would disrupt the preposterous narrative that these migrants are confused and helpless, unable to make their own decisions, and totally at the mercy of scheming politicians like DeSantis and Abbott. No one believes that, though. I mean, there were illegal aliens who were being interviewed who said, you know, they're thankful. They're thanking Ron DeSantis. Or maybe they weren't interviewed on camera, but they were quoted saying that. They're thankful that DeSantis sent them to Martha's Vineyard. As more days go on, this looks so foolish for the Democrats. Every single thing they do to try to counteract how Ron DeSantis is exposing their hypocrisy is just making them look so much worse. 844-500-4242. We've got more sound from Ron DeSantis, and you'll find out why the New York Times suddenly likes Donald Trump.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. And although this story is definitely still taking over the airwaves today, I don't want to forget about another aspect of this, which is the rise of Ron DeSantis. I don't think it has the same ring as Orange Man Bad. Even Death Santis to me is just, it's lacking a little bit. But, you know, we have a lot of time. He's young. He's going to be in this for a while. I'm sure we'll come up with a lot of names. That could be a poll question one day. But here's how you know things are rough. It's not just the fact that the liberals don't know whether to bleep or wind their watch when it comes to what Ron DeSantis did in Martha's Vineyard, which could be criminal, by the way. Don't you forget. But it's also the fact that the New York Times, that's right, everybody, that's right, the paper of record, the old gray lady, the New York Times suddenly finds Trump. And yeah, you know what, Jared, I know it's a dun-dun-dun kind of day, but get ready with the dun-dun-dun. The New York Times finds Donald Trump charming. That's right. I'm just as scared as you are. Here it is. It's an opinion piece in the New York Times. Ron DeSantis may be a more competent Trump in terms of his ability to use the levers of state to amass power, but he's also meaner and more rigid without the soft edges and eccentricity of the actual Donald Trump. Oh, I didn't know that. Now we consider Donald Trump to be eccentric.
The soft edges of Donald Trump.
The soft edges. Also, can I just point something out? And I know this is obvious to all my listeners, but I never want to leave this off the table. What is with making people like Ron DeSantis, like what was Ron DeSantis' big sin during COVID? That he didn't lock down people? That he didn't make people have their kids wear masks to school? That he didn't keep kids home learning on Zoom for 2 years? And that, to them, is him amassing power. Now, meanwhile, you had people like Andrew Cuomo, President Andrew Cuomo, to people who still worship him. You had Gavin Newsom. You had all of these governors, Whitmer. You had all these blue state governors or blue governors. And they were clinging to the emergency powers for dear flipping life. They weren't letting people get their haircuts, but they were getting their haircuts. They weren't letting people go to work. They weren't letting people's kids go to school. And yet, DeSantis, who basically said, hey, it's free America here in Florida, he somehow was the one trying to amass power. He is the authoritarian dictator. That one I'll never be able to square up because it doesn't make any sense. It's actually the exact opposite. This is a classic case of whatever the left is accusing you of, they're doing themselves. David, we're going to try you again, David. You're next on the Grace Curley Show.
Thanks so much, Grace. I've been practicing law for 35 years, white-collar criminal defense in D.C., high-stakes litigation. And the biggest casualty of all of this is the legal system and American law. And part of me wants to sue all these commentators who are engaging in legal malpractice, because that's what they're doing. They're opining about things they know nothing about. And it's extraordinarily frustrating. And what has rung true to me through this is that this is Ron DeSantis' moment. He has handled this spectacularly. And the fact of the matter is, I think we have a turn now to a new candidate. I really believe that to be the case. I feel like a surgeon would feel watching lay people perform, you know, a spinal laminectomy. Nobody knows what they're talking about. All you need to do is say he's criminal, and then half of the population, even the well-educated, articulate ones, accept it as true and run with it. I just don't know if this is a reversible trend, but it's really terrifying.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right, David. And everyone's gotten used to this hyperbolic rhetoric that gets spewed out of CNN and MSNBC. And you're dead on when you say that people take it and parrot it. I mean, you go to a fancy coffee shop in Wellesley. You go to a wine store in Cape Cod, and you hear these. I don't want to paint with a broad brush. It's typically women with their friends, and they're talking about this like it's fact. Well, he's probably gonna end up in jail. And you're just thinking, well, is The View having a meeting here at this coffee shop? Like, where are people getting this information from? Because it doesn't make any sense. Now, David, while I have you on the line, is there anything criminal about what Ron DeSantis did? I think I know the answer.
The answer is no. The answer is no, number one. And the answer is also he's immune from suit. Unless they can demonstrate that what he did falls so outside the scope or zone of what a government official does. I mean, you can sue a police officer if they kill someone. That's, you know, there are arguments to be made because it's sufficiently, if the conduct is not justifiable, it's outside of their duties. But there's nothing here that is outside the scope of what an elected official can do. And the 11th Amendment makes him immune from suit. Under state or federal law, he's in the clear. Try to have that argument with someone who's making this particular point, and they really do become emotionally unhinged. People that I have trusted to be rational people, the smartest I know, at the slightest hint that you're arguing in a way that somehow justifies or defends Trump and now DeSantis, you can see the anger just boiling up inside of them. And it's a phenomenon that is extraordinarily dangerous, and it kind of puts us in... It puts us in this pocket of history where you're beginning to understand why civilizations can go off the rails, why educated people can begin to believe things that are untrue and become irrational. It's a frightening moment.
Really well said, David. And I want to leave you with one piece of advice. Please call back into the Grace Curley Show again, because I enjoyed hearing from such a sane person with a lot of experience in this. And David's right. And I want to add something in here from the New York Times, because this transference of this rage and this anger towards DeSantis is, I didn't think we were going to see it. I was on team like, oh, they can't do this again. They can't replicate this hate they have for Trump and transfer it to Ron DeSantis. Well, guess what, everybody? What do I always say about being wrong? I'm wrong a lot. And I was wrong about this. I heard Howie today talking on the phone to someone and saying it basically just goes from we hate Bush. Now they hated Trump. Now they hate Ron DeSantis. And it gets ratcheted up every time, though. There's no denying that. I don't know if it's social media. I really don't know. And I loved what that last caller, David, said about the decline of civilizations, because you do kind of look at it and say, how are we all living in such different realities? Like, how are there people out there? And I think a perfect example, I don't want to get too off track, is libs of TikTok. You watch that stuff and you think these are people educating the children in this country. And there's all these people beneath them in the comments who agree, who think they're doing a great job. And when you start to see that gap between two different schools of thought, it is scary. It's like, how do we reconcile this? Because now we're getting to a point where people just can't have normal conversations. Now, this is from the New York Times. Well, you might say, Donald Trump is a bully too. Yes, he is. But Donald Trump is also a lifelong celebrity with a public persona that is as much about The Apprentice and even Home Alone 2 as it is about his political career. What's more, Trump has the skills of a celebrity. He's funny, he has stage presence, and he has a kind of natural charisma. What? This is blasphemy. Jamel Bowie, I don't know what you're thinking writing these nice things about Donald Trump all of a sudden. I'm sure there's no ulterior motive to this. But either way, I'm surprised that the computer didn't just combust when this person wrote this down. He can be a bully in part because he can temper his cruelty and egoism with the performance of a clown or a showman. He can persuade an audience that he's just kidding, that he doesn't actually mean it. This writer goes on to explain why Ron DeSantis is actually worse than Donald Trump.
Was this written by AI?
Yeah, it does seem like just an amalgamation of all of these different
Is this just like a word board that somebody put together?
You know what's crazy, though? So I was watching, my husband just finished The Sopranos. He had never watched the series, and he just finished it. I think it was last week. And he had no idea how it ended. I looked at him and I said, oh, you're on the last episode? And I said, oh, you ready for this? And he said, don't say anything. I have no idea how this ends. Which was impressive to me that he's that disconnected from pop culture. I mean, that's why we work well together. I'm looking at him going, What year are you in? But he had no idea. So I actually filmed him watching the last few seconds because, I mean, it's just classic watching people's reactions to that. But I was watching the whole last episode with him because I wanted to see his reaction. And Donald Trump is actually mentioned in the last episode of The Sopranos because the son's name AJ, I think, he, you know how he always had different career goals? He was very, distracted all the time. He had no direction. And at one point he says to Tony Soprano, his dad, he says, oh, maybe I'll become a pilot and I'll fly Trump's plane. And I just thought it is true. He's in all of these different moments in pop culture. And it's just funny when you see something before Trump derangement, before he went into politics, because I was still really young when that stuff was happening. I don't think I ever even realized how much of a force he was in our pop culture and in music and in TV shows and all of this stuff. So I always found him to be pretty charismatic, but it's nice the New York Times is hopping on late in the game.
Well, it's his soft edges is what really draws
his soft edges. Oh, man. Politics is strange. You never know where people are going to end up on a given day. As long as the ends justify the means, like, okay, so who's our biggest threat now? They clearly think it's Ron DeSantis. So now they have to pivot to liking Donald Trump. Oof, it must be tough, though. It must be tough to have no principles, you know, to just go with wherever you think the base, the women who watch The View, like what they're going to eat up the most that day, to stick your finger in the air and feel where the wind is coming. That's got to be harder than just staying on one path, in my opinion.
Well, all they have is this hate. They don't have any creativity about it either, except for this beautiful fawning Donald Trump piece in the New York Times. I can't believe I said that sentence. Because I hadn't even thought about how they're going to label DeSantis until 5 minutes ago when you mentioned it. Florida man is obviously the way to go here. Just start calling him Florida man.
Yeah, and I didn't have Trump gets fawning puff piece in the New York Times on my bingo card today. But here we are. I'm embracing it.
Nice pseudonym, Jennifer Rubin. Can we do a welfare check, please?
It's just wild. We have so many cuts to get to, though. We have to play all of these DeSantis cuts. He did a great job on Fox last night. He knows how to work it. I understand why they're afraid. I also am going to save the Don Lemon cut for the 1 o'clock hour. So if you are waiting on that, we will get to it. And Stacey Abrams continues to backpedal on her refusal to acknowledge that she lost an election. Speaking of backpedaling, the White House has been, every time Joe, I understand why Joe Biden doesn't do these interviews that often, because every time he does one interview, it requires like 16 corrections and cleanups.
And most of the time it almost starts a war.
Yeah, that's also on the list of cons. You know, the pro is we get to have Scott Pelley fawn over Joe Biden. The con is we almost always end up in World War III, and that can pose a problem for people. Our listeners love the Thunderstorm air purifier. One customer texted in that the Eden Pure Thunderstorm has been so great because hockey season was starting and driving several hours in the car with his 12-year-old and their stinky hockey bag is a lot easier now to endure. This is a great product because whether you have allergies, whether you have a musty basement, whether someone in the office maybe microwaves fish, shrimp, stinkiest things you could think of, egg salad. Howie doesn't microwave egg salad, but I'm sure he would eat it. Imagine, though. That would be a case for the Thunderstorm. The Thunderstorm is a great product, and I'm holding it up in my hands. It's easy to plug in, doesn't require any air filters, and it starts to get rid of unwanted smells and allergies instantly. And with inflation, a lot of people are trying to figure out ways to save. This is the perfect time because you can get the 3-pack. So maybe you keep one for yourself, give one to a friend, save one for a Christmas gift from someone. Go to EdenPureDeals.com. Use code GRACE3. That's EdenPureDeals.com. Code word GRACE3. Shipping is free. We will be right back with your calls and a lot more. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley is your perfect lunch date.
Bread, $2 extra.
$2, but everyone in front of me got free bread.
You want bread?
Yes, please.
$3!
What?
Nothing for you!
This is The Grace Curley Show.
You know, when I chose this poll question, I was kind of desperate. Minutes were ticking down until the show. But now, after this whole conversation we're having, and after watching what's playing out in Martha's Vineyard, I actually think this is very, very timely. And I think this is a theme we're going to start seeing a lot more of heading into 2024. Today's poll question is brought to you by Monetary Gold. Listeners who open a qualified account will receive up to $5,000 in free gold or silver. To learn more, go to monetarygold.com/grace. Jared, what is the poll question, and what are the results thus far?
Will DeSantis derangement syndrome be worse than Trump derangement syndrome?
Yeah, because DeSantis doesn't show any signs of slowing down either. He's young. I don't want to say he's new at this, but his political career, if you look at it as a whole, it's probably just getting started. He's going to be around, hopefully, for a very long time. And he seems to know exactly what buttons to push without going overboard personally to give people a lot of material. Plus, I just want to add in here, because this is an important part of the story, that according to reports, DeSantis might be sending another plane to Joe Biden's home in Delaware. So Rehoboth Beach better get ready, because there's going to be some new arrivals if Flight Radar 24 is correct. So I'm going to say, but yeah, because every time over the last few years, I've thought things can't get any crazier. People can't get any more nuts. The temperature has got to be lowered at some point. This old country surprises me. So I'm going to say, yeah, I think it can get even crazier with DeSantis.
Only 35% agree with you. 65% believe Trump derangement syndrome will still be the alpha variant.
I think a lot of it does kind of spiral off of Trump derangement syndrome, but I think we're naive to think it's going to end with that. Tim, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Tim.
Hi. So I wanted to call in to follow up on what a previous caller said. That caller said he was a lawyer for the last 30, 35 years. While it may be strictly speaking true that the governor of Florida cannot be directly sued for his actions, I believe that the fraudulent things that were told to the migrants themselves will eventually have blowback, either on DHS, the Florida's administrative state, or DeSantis himself.
Yeah, but what was fraud? What evidence?
They were fraud somewhere else.
No, but I don't think that was the case. In fact, they were given brochures specifically telling them about Martha's Vineyard. So I don't think there's any evidence to show us that they were told they were going somewhere else.
Right, but the brochures that have been widely shared on social media, the photographs of the brochures, you know, straight from the ground, they clearly indicate benefits that were not available to these people. And, of course, there's the parallel issue of their upcoming court dates, all of which the government knew about, and yet still the DeSantis administration decided to bring these people to a different part of the country where they'll be managed by other people through their asylum process now.
Now hold on a second, Tim, because I want to push back on something here. The brochure in question, and I'm reading from the Federalist, contains a list of community services and churches that have migrant assistant programs. The first one listed is a link for the immigration page of a website called First Stop Martha's Vineyard, which is an online reference guide to the island's social services and programs. It includes information about the Massachusetts Office for Refugee and Immigrants, among other programs. Beyond that, I don't think handing out brochures is a crime, no matter what the brochure says. 844-500-4242. Thanks for the call, though, Tim. We'll be right back with more. Don't go anywhere.